This is HPR episode 2355 entitled, We and Wii U Software Modding. It is hosted by Operat Zero R and is about 12 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, I go over my current Wii and Wii U setup.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
This is another episode of Hacker Public Radio with Robert McCurdy. I apologize for the audio. I'm sitting here in Atlanta traffic, so I figured I'd record an episode and provide a little bit of value to you guys today. I'm going to be talking about something called the Nintendo Wii and the Nintendo Wii U, which, if you're old like me, those are two console systems which are kind of prematurely retired or done. So, with that said, I recently got for Father's Day presents, I got a Wii U, and I was going to get it all set up just like I had set up my Wii for soft modding it. Now, to give you some background, soft modding is a way for you to play backed up games from some kind of storage device, be it a micro SD card or an external hard drive or maybe a big giant SD card. So, the first one I did, I'll give you some background. The first one I did was the irregular Wii, which, incidentally is a great story and is great to see a video if you watch it. But if you're into that type of stuff and hacking in general and code execution and seeing exploits, the sexy stuff, it's a really great video to see or a really great thing to watch, because the original exploit that I used was for the Wii, which you just need an SD card for the one now. It's like a mail bomb, basically, message bomb exploit. But the original one that we had was for the Zelda game, and you actually downloaded a special saved game with all the files you need for homebrew and all that stuff to get after you get code execution for it to execute the homebrew channel. So you've got that, and you have this special save game, and then you load up your Zelda, and you copy over that special saved game, and then you load that save game inside of Zelda, and you just walk backwards. And when you walk backwards, for whatever reason, somehow it triggers this overflow, this exploit, and then it gives you code execution, and boom, you have homebrew on your system. And from there, I mean, that part of it was just, I don't know, it was very real for me, because there's one thing to run an exploit on a system in Windows and to run a tool and maybe see a buffer overflow or something like that, but to see it that real and that from an actual console, that's kind of really, really interesting thing to see, and I got a lot of joy out of just watching that piece of it. But after that, it was all really downhill, you know, setting it all up. I didn't brick any Wiis in that process. I haven't bricked any devices, which means you kind of screw up the device to where you have to either set up a JTAG or a serial port to possibly get to it, or you're completely done and you have to buy a new device. So I haven't bricked any Wiis in that regard. I've demodded 3 or 4 of them at this point. So there's a lot of information about how to do that. You use a special SD card and you buy like a $50 hard drive and you're done. So with that one, we had that one set up. What I wanted to talk about is my Wii U. I also soft modded the like 3 or 4 Nintendo DSs, which is fairly easy to do. Actually, easier than the Wii and all that stuff. They don't have a lot of firmware versions like the Wii does with software. So I got this Wii U, and the first thing you do when you buy a new device and you want to exploit it, you don't update it, you don't put it on the internet, you don't do anything like that. So That was the first thing I did, is I opened up the box and I figured out what version of firmware it was running, and then I looked online and started doing some research. And what I quickly found out is that the way the exploit works, or the way the Wii U is set up, I'm not sure if like somehow the boot stuff is digitally signed, almost like Apple does, so you're not able to actually access or read write to the boot sector or certain parts of the boot. I don't really understand why once you get code execution you can't really get that feet cement in the ground type of thing. So what I'm talking about is with the Wii U, once you got root you didn't have to re-exploit it, but from what it seems like with the Wii U, every time you turn the system on you have to basically exploit it again. So there's two methods. There's one that's through the browser, which is uses, I don't know, like the Apple browser WebKit or something like that, and it uses the exploit for the Wii U's browser to get code execution, which is a little weird. You can host your own exploit code on your own server, but most people just aim it at the internet server for that, and it has the news and all that stuff. But it's a little weird executing code from directly from the internet every time your computer starts up. So you can host that content internally, and then there's also a WiiWare or a what they call virtual console game you can purchase that's like $6 or something. And then you can get code execution via that method. And all this is explained in, like, I think it's called WiiU.guide is the website. And it's fairly straightforward. I donated to those guys, and I donated to the other group that was doing some of the forum stuff. So anyways, it's fairly simple to set up. You go to the guide site, just follow the directions. Be very careful about following the directions and don't do things in the wrong order. And if, you know, you have errors and you go back. But my experience with that one was pretty good. I do have a couple of hiccups there. I think just now in February, they have the ability to actually load line games that are non-image based. It's like the actual files. You can actually load line games directly from a FAT32 partition hard drive. So what the Mocha guy did, or guys did, is that they set it up so where when you boot, that it essentially swaps the SD card and the hard drive. So when you want to, or basically swaps the SD card out with the mounted hard drive. So when you boot, when it goes to load up anything off the SD card, it's actually pulling stuff off the hard drive, from what I understand is how it works. So up until February, that ability didn't work. I think what people were doing was they were getting the images and then they were ripping the images to their systems and loading them and installing them directly on the Wii U hard drive, which is a special file system called like WSBSFS or something. I think it's the same file system that the Wii U uses, and also like the DS and all that stuff. So anyways, I think the old had way to do it was to have your images ripped manually, and I think they're signed or whatever, so that's why you can't just drop an image, you have to rip it yourself or something. I did try that method with all my games, and I realized it was going to be daunting to have to do that with everything. So what I realized is there was the load line games that you can load directly from the load line app. That made things a little bit easier to back up. So if you wanted to back up the device, you didn't just have to DD it. And there's issues around DD, especially if you're trying to do a one-to-one copy of a disk and then you put it in a different device. If you swap the device out, the hard drive out with a different hard drive, depending on the file system, it's probably not going to pick it up without some shenanigans. So I needed the ability to easily back up my hard drive. So with that FAT32 system, I can back up those games and back up all my configs and back up all my apps and everything. So that feature, from what I understand, is pretty recent. February, I would have figured they would have had it all figured out, but I think there wasn't as many people playing with the Wii U stuff than there was just the Wii. So all in all, it was a good experience. Once you get that type of setup good and going, you can actually have, I think supposedly their load times are the same, but I would imagine just because the disk is spinning around, you would get better load times. That's what I always assumed. But from what I understand, the load times are supposedly the same. And I have had some issues with some games glitching out when they're trying to do like high speed video, basically high speed rendering. So it may be the case that it's actually slower through the hard drive, but I haven't done any investigation in what you have to buy for the hard drives. To do the FAT32 setup is you need basically a Y cable to get additional power for whatever reason. I guess it doesn't give you the full 5 volts, or maybe it gives you 5 volts but not enough amps to power the device. So you end up with, like, you know, 5 volts but not enough amps, maybe, you know, half an amp or an amp or something like that to push the hard drives. So you get this Y cable and a special hard drive. I'll try to Google that, put the notes when I submit this, but it's a Y cable, and then the guy's got a list of, you know, requested or suggested hard drive types to put in there. You can also buy a converter for the Wii U or the Wii that converts it to HDMI, so everything is all HDMI now, and I have a for like $6 you can order 2 extension cables for these sensor bars, because you actually get an extra sensor bar, so you'll have 2 sensor bars and two for the Wii and the Wii U. So I ended up with having 2 sensor bars and then an extension cable. It was about a 7-foot or 10-foot extension cable, and then I run that to the receiver, and then everything comes out of the receiver. There's also a I'll do an accompanying video about my setup that I have already posted, but my setup is on a switch, on a power strip that's actually master slave power switch. So you set up the receiver as the master, and then when you turn the receiver off, the intelligent power strip turns everything else off. So this does a lot of good things for you. It prevents that vampire power from happening. And then also, if you need to reset the Wii or the Wii U, you don't have to get up to reset it. You just turn off the receiver and turn it back on. So I'm pretty lazy in that regard. Once it freezes up, there's nothing you can do. You got to do that power switch. But anyways, about to head up into our wonderful transit system, MARTA, here to try to make it to the office on time. But that's my experience with the soft modding Wii U, DS, and the Wii. As far as bricking, I don't think there's a whole lot of danger in that space, as long as you kind of follow the directions and make sure that you're not doing something in the wrong order or skip a step. If you have some time, or like me, headed to the office and have some time to record a video or audio that will help somebody, please do it and submit something. Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.